is your Financial Empower Hour with Jason Kreiderman from Great Lakes Investment Advisor. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Jason provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is your Financial Empower Hour with Jason Kreiderman.
Well, good morning and welcome to your Financial Empower Hour. This is Jason Kreiderman with Great Lakes Investment Advisors. I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday morning. Boy, the weather sure has changed. I was talking with my co-host, Mr. Tony Shore, before the show, and you know, temperatures and the weather here in Michigan versus where you sit, Tony, over in Minnesota. And my wife and I were having a chat this past weekend that in the last 2 weeks, it seems like we went from 85 to 45 almost overnight. And we didn't really have much of a slide into fall. It's been more of a jump into fall, and that's awesome for fall football weather. And as we were talking with also a special guest we have on the show today, Mr. Keith Gangle, who's a portfolio manager with Gradient Investments. We'll hear a lot more from him today. But as we were talking before the show, his baseball team over there, the Minnesota Twins, they're in the playoffs and they're down 2-1. So tonight's game is a must win for them. And we were talking about the weather, and Keith was saying, "Oh yeah, come game time at 6 o'clock and in the evening over there in Minnesota, sun goes down and gets pretty chilly." And that's the same thing here in Michigan. So we like to call it great fall football weather.
Yeah, it is.
And it's better football weather where I sit watching a lot of the JV and varsity and youth games, Tony. I told you a couple weeks ago how I'm an announcer for the football game. So I get to sit up in the booth. And so when they say fall football weather, and it might be, you know, cold and windy and rainy, and it's never in the booth. It's always about 70 degrees and dry and just a great place to watch the game.
Yeah, I love the fall weather. I actually like it when it's nice and cool and crisp like this. I don't like the winters, but I also don't like 95 and humid. So I love the fall. This is the time when I like to get outside and do some work and get yard work done, raking leaves. I don't mind it. I don't mind working outside in the fall because you don't have to deal with the heat and humidity. But you're right. It is great football weather, great sporting weather. Keith, are you going to watch the Twins game tonight?
Yes, indeed. I hope for a little victory here. You know, 2-1, we're down, but you know, we need a victory here, or the Twins will be going home. So we had enough of Minnesota teams not doing well in playoffs. So it'd be nice if we can get a little victory tonight.
I think we'll pull it out tonight. I think the Twins, the Twinkies as I call them, will do well. I think they've got a great pitching schedule for tonight, and it looks good. So why don't you officially introduce our guests? I know we're going to talk about kind of a market update today, right, Jason?
Yeah, it's an exciting show. I mean, when we have an opportunity to have a special guest on our show, like a portfolio manager for Gradient Investments, which all of our listeners out there today, you've heard me say the name Gradient Investments. They're a fiduciary third-party wealth manager. They manage over $5 billion of assets for families and clients of fiduciary advisors like myself and my team. We've been very fortunate to have an awesome relationship with Gradient Investments and all of their employees, and really their family to us. We've been with them for almost 15 years now, and so to have Keith on the show today is always exciting to have one of their guests. Last time, it was a couple months ago, I think we had Jeremy Bryant, another portfolio manager, and so to have Keith on the show, it's great. But Keith, before we get into the show today, you mentioned a second ago that it's been a long time since a Minnesota team has done well in the playoffs. I'm not sure if you remember where I'm from, Keith, but it's been a long time since a Michigan team has been in the playoffs. So that's a feeling I can't remember. You know, it's been quite a while for our Tigers and our Lions and Pistons and Red Wings. And of course, I'm a Michigan State fan. It's been even longer for our Spartans.
Wolverines maybe, huh?
The Wolverines are doing great this year, and you know, everybody that knows me knows I'm a Spartan by heart. I bleed green.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I went to school. That's where I met my wife Amy, and so we're Spartans through and through. However, I'm not one of those fans that says, "Oh, I hate Michigan." No, I mean, as long as they're not playing Michigan State, I'll root for them.
And really?
Especially if they're playing Ohio State, I'll root for anybody, Keith. Even Minnesota teams, if they're playing Ohio State, we'll root for anybody that plays that team. But
you got to draw your line somewhere.
Yeah, you really do. You really do.
Yeah, well, so, my two favorite teams are the Minnesota Vikings and whoever's playing the Packers. Those are my two favorite teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I used to have a T-shirt back in college that said that about my favorite two teams were Michigan State and whoever's playing the Wolverines.
Yeah,
so. that's a good one. Okay, well let's get into it. Let's start talking about the markets here. I know they've been a little up and down. So, where do you guys want to begin this conversation?
Yeah, well, I think it's again a great opportunity to have Keith, a portfolio manager from Grady Investments, on as our guest today. So I encourage all of our listeners, if there's any questions, concerns, or thoughts you have about the market, stock market, the economy, or anything we talk about on the show today, as always, I encourage you to call in and leave a message or talk to us live. You know, leave a message or leave us, you know, talk to somebody here in the office and voice your questions or concerns, because we do have access to the portfolio managers at Grady Investments, such as Keith. And so anytime our listeners have questions or concerns, I can bounce those off the professionals from in the trenches and get back to you with those answers and that information you're seeking. And today we're going to talk a lot about, the market and the economy. And we're going to go a whole bunch of different ways, Keith. I know you and I talked before the show about some ideas and good topics that are really resonating all across the United States and the world right now. And so I kind of want to, before we take our first break, I kind of want to just throw out a broad range of some of the things we might talk about. And then if you have any comments, Keith or Tony, before the break, and then coming out of the first break, we'll jump right in. But, I know there's a lot of ruffle and roar going on about the stock market after coming out of 2022, which was such a rough year with equities and bonds, both of those sectors being down double digits in the same 12-month period, which, to the best of my knowledge, hasn't happened in any of our investing timeframes in any of our lives on the earth, probably. And there's a lot going on with interest rates moving higher and potentially lower, and inflation and how that impacts the market and housing markets and, interest rates. We've talked, Tony, on the show before that everybody loves interest rates when you borrow money and interest rates are low. But we hate low interest rates when we try to invest money. So
right.
I think Keith will probably have a good take on that in our show today as well, where interest rates have been and where they might be going. And we cannot have a show today and not talk about, the war and conflicts like both Ukraine and Israel. And locally here, we have the UAW strike and the impact that could have locally and globally on our markets and economy. And, of course, the overall, globally and locally, our government situation and politics. So that's kind of where I think our show is going to go today for our listeners. Anything from either you, Tony, or you, Keith, before we roll into our first break?
Well, I wanted to ask Keith, we have a couple minutes before the break. The markets have rebounded, and we're going to talk about that, right?
Yes, they have. I mean, last year was certainly a difficult year. In 2022, the markets, when we say we're down about 18%, when I'm talking markets, I'm talking the S&P 500. So a lot of your listeners will listen to TV and they say, oh, the market did this or that. What they're referring to is the S&P 500. Last year was a very difficult year of down 18%. And Jason touched on the fact that the bond market was also difficult. That was actually down 13%. And you're right. I don't remember a time period where double digits for both of them. Actually, the bond market being down 13%, that was the worst bond market in over 50 years. So, again, a long time, which outdates most of us investors. I'm mid-50s here, low 50s, and obviously I've been doing it for a long time, almost 30 years, and I don't remember ever seeing a bond market even close to that. And typically a bad bond market year is maybe down 1%, 2%, 3%.
Sure.
Certainly not down 13%. And the reason why it was down 13%, if you remember, bonds, generally speaking, when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. What was the story of last year? Last year was a good story about inflation. Inflation running rampant. I mean, right, whether it was oil prices, your interest rates, inflation, you went to the store to go buy food, costs went up. We had a lot of money chasing a fewer goods, so inflation was rampant. We actually peaked in inflation rate, which is measured by CPI, at 9.1% in June. So that ran rampant. Stock market got spooked, sold off, which is kind of a natural reaction to high inflation. But that also made the Federal Fund Reserves start raising interest rates aggressively. And when they raise rates, bond prices go down. That's what ended up happening. The Fed funds rate was at 0% going into the last year, but then they had to raise rates to tame inflation, to slow the overall economy. And so the bond market ended up selling off 13%. So it was absolutely no place to hide last year. It was very difficult, which is nice to see a nice rebound this year.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, Jason, after the break. And I know this is going to be a great show. We've got a lot to cover, as you mentioned. And Jason, do you think I should give away a few more copies of your book this episode?
Tony, I'm not sure why you even asked the question, because even if I said no, every show you offer books to all of our listeners, and son of a gun, if we don't get a half a dozen to a dozen calls every week requesting these free books that Tony's giving away. And so, Tony, even if I said no, I knew you would, so why don't you go ahead and make that offer to our listeners today?
Yeah, I love giving the books away for numerous reasons. Number one, it's a great resource for our listeners out there. Number two, I don't have to pay for them.
No, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. That's on you. That's on you, Jason. I don't have any problem giving away a lot of copies of this book. And the book is Empower Your Retirement, Plan for the Best, Prepare for the Worst. Jason, you wrote this book. It's a great resource, a lot of great information in there, including investment information. And all you have to do is give us a call at 989-835-7203. The next 10 callers will get a copy of the book, and we'll mail it to you at no charge. There's no shipping. It's completely complimentary. 989-835-7203. And we're going to be right back with more of Your Financial Empower Hour right after this. Welcome back to Your Financial Empower Hour. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with our host, the man with the plan. It's Jason Kreiderman. And Jason, I don't know how you got this guy. It's such a huge get. Portfolio manager at Gradient Investments, Keith Gangle. And Keith is here with us. And Jason, I know you have a lot more questions for Keith today.
I sure do. And yeah, again, it's just, we are very fortunate. You mentioned it's a hard get. And whenever we have an opportunity to have one of the portfolio managers from Gradient Investments, who manages most of our family's monies that are what we call assets under management, actively managed portfolios in the markets, that's Gradient Investments. And they manage just over $5 billion of assets for other advisors and families around the United States as well. And so it is awesome. It is a heck of a get when we can be so fortunate to grab a half hour, an hour of their time. So today we do have Keith Gangle with us. So thank you again, Keith. Really appreciate you joining the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here, man. We greatly appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate it. You know, they can only listen to Tony and I ramble so many minutes for so many weeks in a row. To get somebody on here that's actually intelligent and makes sense of what they're talking about, well, listeners, that's why we have Mr. Keith Gangle for you today.
It's an added bonus today.
Yes, indeed.
It's just an added bonus. But we ended that last segment on interest rates. And let me just, I think we should touch on interest rates maybe for a minute or two here before we move on. And the reason is Tony, because Keith mentioned that the feds were chasing inflation last year. Inflation skyrocketed. The feds raised interest rates, I believe it was four times at about 0.5 to 0.75 or more per time, which was unheard of, really. We haven't seen the feds do that. And so they did. What that did is it drove interest rates way up, which in turn drove the bond market down. But let's talk real quick about the interest rates, Keith, before we move on. Is what do you see the future of interest rates and the impact that has, like, on purchasing, like major purchases, the housing market, things softening up? Or, you know, let's talk about what you think the impact has been and what the future looks like with interest rates.
Sure. We think, you know, kind of the mantra everybody's been talking about is higher for longer, right? You know, the Fed funds rate was basically at zero. So basically, if you were a saver, you had money in the bank, you were getting 0% interest, you weren't getting paid on it. On the flip side, like you mentioned earlier, it's actually very positive for the consumer, right? If, you know, if you want to go take a loan for a car, it was relatively cheap. Housing loans were at 3%. And now what ends up happening when the Fed wants to cool the overall economy to bring inflation down, they have to raise rates, which they did multiple times. You know, they did 25 basis points, they'd done 50, they'd done 75. We're getting to the end of the tightening cycle. And one of the things that, you know, people benchmark when they talk about interest rates, they look at the 10-year treasury yield. So right now, that the other day was at 4.8%, and literally you just go back, you know, 18 months to 24 months, and that was at, you know, 50 basis points. Now we've gone from 50 basis points to, you know, over 4.5%. What does that do? Basically impacts consumers a lot, right? Because if you want to go take a loan, you're going to have to pay more. So that's going to slow the overall economy. Mm-hmm. Housing is a perfect example. I mean, if you go back, literally, I just did this analysis yesterday. We look at housing rates 2 years ago were at 3% for a 30-year mortgage. That's fantastic, right? You know, if you were 2 years ago, you backed up, you're like, okay, I want to go take a mortgage for a $300,000 house, you know, at that 3%, your mortgage payment was about $2,000. That's not including insurance and things like that. But so $2,000, you fast forward to today, now 30-year mortgages are at 7.5%. If we even use 7%,
wow,
it's incredible what the mortgage payments are. So excuse me. So the payments now are at $2,000 at the 7%. If you go back 2 years ago, they're only at $1,200. So that's about an $800 difference from that same house. $300,000, you know, back 2 years ago, you're paying about $1,200 a month. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to pay $2,000 a month for that same house at $300,000. So that's $800 that basically is coming out of consumers' pockets, which means you're going to be less spending on discretionary items or trips or clothes or, like Jason, you know, whatever your kind of sporting events you want to go, or your kids, more likely your kids, mm-hmm. you have to put your money into, right? So now you're going to have to dial it back.
Definitely put a lot of money into those little buggers, that's for sure.
And so now if you do the same analysis, if you wanted to pay for a $2,000 payment, you know, back a couple years ago and your rate was at that 3%, you could have bought a house instead of $300,000, you could have bought a house for $475,000. So just think about that dynamic, right? So that same house 2 years ago with that $2,000 a month payment, you could have had a $475,000 house, but mm-hmm. now you're only getting a $300,000. So something has to give. Either the price has to come down, interest rates go sideways or something like that. So that's how high interest rates impact the overall economy. That's one thing that most people own a house or rent, things like that. So that's a very tangible a thing that's happening with higher interest rates. It's definitely a drag on the overall consumer.
Yeah, interest rates are killers right now, and especially for housing. It is, I think, succeeding in what the Fed wanted to do, though, right? I think it has slowed.
It did.
It slowed the housing market.
But the one thing it hasn't done is prices. Normally, when you have that rapid rise of interest rates, prices should come down.
Yes.
But that hasn't happened because of supply, right?
It hasn't.
We haven't added enough supply. So that's still
true.
A little sticky. So we'll see what ends up happening over the next couple of years. If I had to make my crystal ball guess going forward, housing prices, they're rapidly rising, the previous years. And I think now we're going to be more stagnant and kind of flat. Our interest rates will have to come back down to make those housing payments more affordable. So
I think that's
what's going to happen for the housing market. On the flip side, interest rates are high. Before, like I said, if you had money you wanted to put into just even your bank account or a CD, you weren't earning anything. Now with the 10-year yield at around 450, 460, you can earn some nice money. I mean, there's money markets, stable value portfolios, these year yielding, 4.5%, 5%. These are fantastic amounts.
Yes.
Yeah, and when we always talk to investors all the time, interest rates can be a double-edged sword. I mean, nobody wants to pay high interest, as you mentioned, Keith, when we borrow money, like for a mortgage. We all want that, what we called free money. A couple of years ago, that was 3-4% for mortgage interest, and that was great. But now when we have to pay 7-9%, we're like, oh my gosh, we don't like these high interest rates. We wish interest rates were low or cheap again. But unfortunately, the flip side of that coin is, yeah, but when we invested money in the savings, money market, or CDs a few years ago, we were getting 0.00 nothing.
Exactly.
And so, we didn't like that either. We want cheap when we borrow, but we want high when we invest. And unfortunately, with interest rates, you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's either high like it is now, which, like you said, Keith, is a great time to invest in some of those investments, like even money markets or CDs or stable value portfolio through Grady Investments or multi-year guaranteed annuities. I mean, we can, we're looking at the 4-6% range on all those investments, and what a great opportunity for investing money. But again, the flip side is when we borrow money, it's a bigger payment.
Yep.
Definitely a bigger payment.
Now we have to keep an eye on that because 70% of the overall economy is driven by consumers. So that, that headwind, if these rates stay this high for a long periods of time, consumers have to adjust to it, or net-net, they'll end up spending less, which will probably be a little bit of a drag on the overall economy. But the economy is very healthy right now.
Yeah, it really has been. Well, Jason, we should probably take another quick break so I can give away a few more copies of your book. How's that sound?
I knew you would, Tony.
All right, the book is Empower Your Retirement, and Jason, I think it's great you wrote this one with your dad. It's got a lot of great information in it. Listeners, the next 10 callers are going to get a copy sent to them at no charge. Just call 989-835-7203. That number again is 989-835-7203. And I want to remind our listeners they can check out the website at Great Lakes Investment Advisors. Again, that web address is GreatLakesInvestmentAdvisors.com. And stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more of Your Financial Empower Hour after this. And welcome back to Your Financial Empower Hour. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with our host, Jason Kreiderman, and our special guest, Keith Gangle, Keith, you're a portfolio manager at Gradient Investments.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for being on the show today. Jason, what other questions do you want to talk about or subjects with Keith today?
Well, there's a lot of them, Tony. In fact, I wish we had about a 2 or 3 hour show, and I'm sure we still wouldn't get them all in. But again, thank you, Tony. It's always awesome to be able to, get somebody like Keith. So thank you, Keith, for being on the show today. Again, Keith is a portfolio manager at Gradient Investments. So I want to shift kind of where we started out talking about interest rates, and interest rates were good when we're investing money if they're high interest rates, but they're not as good when we borrow money. We know that, and we hope those interest rates for borrower money come down a little in the future. But let's move on to a lot of other items that are in the news. And Tony and Keith, we talked about this. Well, we talk about it every day, not just before the show, but every day when I talk to you guys, we can't possibly have a discussion, whether it's at a Friday night football game or Sunday morning after church or anytime throughout the week. All these other things going on in the world around us in the news, and our government, geopolitical issues globally, and then of course our political issues here in the United States with an election coming up next year, and then of course the UAW strike locally here. Keith, you and I talked quite a bit about that being at the state of Michigan, where automotive state, and having these these strikes, what that impact might do to the overall market and the economy. And boy, right now, you turn on the news, look at Facebook or anywhere, and it's this war and the conflicts with like Israel and Ukraine. And I'm going to leave those topics kind of, Keith, up to you. But okay. I just want to sit back, and I don't want to let you on those topics that are in the news right now and the ones you're seeing and hearing and talking about the most. I just really, this next segment, I kind of want to let you go and just talk to our listeners and to Tony and I, and tell us what's going on and what you think about these things.
Okay, sounds good. I'll talk about the first one I think is most local to you, and especially in Michigan, is the UAW strike. Obviously, yes, That's a huge deal, and especially it's going on week 4 now, and it doesn't seem to be any resolution coming. Now, I say this on the radio, and we could turn on the news tomorrow, and that could be resolved, and we'll see what happens there, but currently it's not. And it's, the UAW employs a lot of employees. It's about 400,000, which that's quite significant. And right now we've had, these rolling different strikes at different, whether it's GM or, Ford or Stellantis, all these different places, they're rolling out these strikes, and doesn't seem to be a near end in sight. So we're definitely keeping an eye on that. So just to put it in perspective for how we invest in companies. So we look at, whether Ford or GM are, investable universes, but there's also a lot of other companies that make, auto parts that go into these companies and things like that. So overall, the auto industry is about 3% of our overall GDP growth. So it's relatively small. But when you put all the stuff that, the financials, situation, when you go take a loan and other parts that touch the actual automotive industry, it's about 7 or 8% of overall GDP. So it's meaningful. So we don't want the strike. Obviously, people have opinions on either side of which, whether how much the raises should be. The UAW is asking for 40%. Yep. Right now they're around 20% the offer. So, again, people will go back and forth on, what's the right number or not. But we'd like to see the strike get settled fairly quickly, because if it drags on, it's going to start impacting that, 7-8% that overall GDP growth rate. So, of that touches the GDP. So we don't want to see that happening, and hopefully it gets resolved. And I know it's certainly, a lot of people that you talk to, and there's a lot of people that actually work in these different plants. And I'm sure they don't want to go on strike either. They want to go to work, get a fair paycheck, and, keep the economy rolling as well. So that's important. I remember going, I go to Michigan a couple of times a year, and a couple of years ago going when the COVID shut down, seeing all those parked cars because we had the semiconductor shortage. And so now we finally got past that, right? We're getting vehicles rolling out of the plants, and now a strike. So this is certainly hitting a nerve on investors, and we're watching with a keen eye, and we'd like to see this resolved pretty quickly. And another, so that's the big news, obviously, for you. The other stuff that's been kind of in the news recently is obviously all the war stuff. Last year we had Ukraine and Russia, right? Markets always dust up quick. They don't know what's going to happen. Price of oil spikes up, right? Especially with the Middle East situation being so close to Russia, and Russia's a big exporter of oil. So that's always impacts companies just kind of immediately. But then the market takes a deep breath and it sees what the overall impact. And that's been going on for a year now. And things that I think from the investment world to kind of normalize, we don't really see an end in near, but you don't also see it impacting a whole lot of our companies. Going back to that situation when the conflict broke out, defense stocks obviously worked very well. Energy stocks started to work as well because of the fact price of oil went up. The price of oil actually went down shortly thereafter because investors look, is this more of a short-term issue or is there other supply coming on? Things like that we consider as well. Now, the piece of news that's really timely here has been Israel potential war coming up here. So that we have to keep a key eye on, but that's a very fluid situation. We're only in the first week of what's going to end up happening right now. And price of oil actually hasn't done a whole lot, which is good from our investor standpoint, because the reason I keep on mentioning oil is like a tax on the U.S. consumer, right? So right now the price of barrel of oil is about $85. My normal range, what we think it should be in that $70 to $90 range. When it starts breaking above $90, Jason, when you go to the pump filling up your truck, what's it cost you when price of oil is at $95 a barrel?
Oh, we feel it. Yeah,
right? So yeah, I drive a bigger vehicle too. So back when gas prices are high, you're paying $100 to fill up your tank, and that's something that's people.
Right, plus, if fuel prices go up, especially like you say, $90 to $100 a gallon or a barrel, I should say. That can affect other things too, not just the price of gas. It affects the price of goods.
Oh, for sure, because goods are right? Anything you go buy in a store. Yeah. Whether you're even magically getting dropped off at Amazon or your door, which I see we have a lot of packages, that's costing some fuel to get there, right? And there's surcharges that go
on shipping.
To it.
I mean, that's in the shipping cost,
everything
in the production,
So those are, the two key things that I always worry about recently have been interest rates, which we've kind of covered already. I think they're gonna be higher for longer, but I don't think they're gonna go much higher. The other thing to keep an eye on, though, is price of oil. Like I said, it should be in that $70 to $90 range. Recently, in the last couple of months, it rose to like $95, and the markets were selling off. I think that was because interest rates were going up, price of oil was going up. But now oil has actually retraced here a little bit, down to about $85 a barrel, which I think is in that range of that $70, $90. We're fine. Gas at the pump should start coming down, which is a good thing for the consumer. Less of a tax, right?
Yeah. So of course, war in the Middle East could affect the oil.
That's where we got to keep an eye on it, right? Because all of a sudden, some of these other Middle Eastern countries get dragged into the war, and all of a sudden there's some supply disruption. And obviously, that price of oil can spike above $100. And then again, everybody's paying that, instead of paying $30, $40 at the pump for your fill up, all of a sudden now you're at $50, $60, $80, $100. And that gets to be a little bit of an eye opener.
And it can be political, too, oil prices.
Oh, for sure.
OPEC.
No,
if they
want to
influence a political climate or make a statement, they can raise and lower the prices by the demand. They control they control the supply. They can cut off the supply or increase the supply, whether they want to raise or lower it. So it is interesting, and it's sad to hear about some of the negativity in the news and the war. We still have the Ukraine going on, and these things can have brief effects on the market. But the market has outlasted every president, all politics, all wars. I mean, so far, the market, it's long-term, right?
Markets are long-term. They tend to grind higher. Historical averages for the markets are about 8%, 9% a year over long periods of time. So that's kind of generally what we expect, even good times and bad times. But the markets aren't in a straight line, right? We certainly have
ups and
years
downs.
And downs. Like we started at the beginning of the show saying how last year was a difficult year because of inflation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was almost down 20%. But people forget the previous 3 years were up like a 27, up like a 24, and then up like an 18 as well. So 3 out of 4 years, that's kind of what the long-term average of the overall markets. About 73% of the time, markets are up. In that those 4 years I just mentioned, that's exactly what happened. We had 3 great years, 1 bad year. Now this year, we're up roughly year-to-date about 13% in the overall market, which I mean the S&P 500. So a nice solid start to the year. And if we finish in the positive territory, that'd be a step in the right direction.
But Keith, I have a quick question. I didn't mean to jump in here, Jason, but you wouldn't recommend our listeners doing anything rash like, because, the Middle East, the war, you don't sell off or make any rash decisions because of the political climate, right?
You're exactly right. You're talking about timing the market, which, again, I've almost been doing this for 3 decades or 30 years, and it's pretty much impossible to time the market. But what's more important is time in the market than trying to time the market, right? Because if we use that long period of time, the 96 years that the S&P has been around, 3/4 of the time that the market's actually up. So again, if you think the markets are going to sell off aggressively, a prime example would be going back to COVID, in 2020 when, the economy was shutting down, the world was going to hell in a handbasket. We didn't know what was going to happen. The markets, governments came in, employees couldn't go to work, right? All of a sudden the market reacted. The market was down a matter of 35% in a matter of 5 weeks. And things look pretty grim. Now, if you are an investor and all of a sudden you're like, I can't take this anymore, I'm retired, 35%, a third of my savings is out the window because of the markets and I don't see the economy turning around. If you sold it, what ended up happening? You missed the next 12 months, the market doubled off the bottom. And so we were fielding calls from advisors and clients saying, what do we do here? Economy, we don't know what's going to happen. We're like, well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen either, but feels pretty bad. And usually when it starts to feel pretty bad, that's the time you should be investing. And that's exactly what happened. The market actually doubled from that point in time. So back to COVID. That's just a recent example. There's many other times, too, when you think the worst,
sure,
is here. Usually it's already priced in by the stock market because it's a forward-looking indicator. So the market all of a sudden said, oh, the economy's doing better. And that's why the market doubled off the bottom there.
Wow.
And that kind of ties right in, Keith, I'm glad you mentioned that, but it ties in kind of the tagline in the book. It's empower, our tagline actually is plan for the best, but prepare for the worst. And obviously we all want to plan for those 7 to 8 out of 10 years where the market goes up 73% of the time historically, but we need to be prepared for the years that it doesn't go so well and doesn't go in our favor. And that ties right into, Tony, what you said is we don't want to be, if we're not prepared, we might have a tendency to react irrational and make those rash decisions, like you mentioned, Keith, at the wrong time. During 2020, market's down 35% right away after COVID. If you weren't planning, be prepared that could happen. And what we mean by that is have a well-diversified, well-rounded, well-balanced portfolio. So when stuff does hit the fan, you're not blown up to the tune of 35%, which most of our families were not, because we always keep that in the back. There's going to be those 2 or 3 years that are going to come up out of 10. Markets aren't going to be up. They're going to be down at some level. And we want to be kind of prepared for that, so our families don't end up being upside down at that tune. So I think that was great question to ask, Tony and Keith. That was a great response.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to jump in and we're going to throw to break one last time. We have to work in one more break. But first, I'm going to give away a few copies of the book, Empower Your Retirement. The next 10 callers will be sent a copy of the book at no charge. That number is 989-835-7203. Again, that's 989-835-7203. And stay tuned. We're going to be right back with more of Your Financial Empower Hour right after this. Welcome back to Your Financial Empower Hour. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore. I am here with two great financial minds, Jason Kreiderman and Keith. Keith Gangle is here. He's a portfolio manager with Gradient Investments. And we've been talking about the markets. Great show so far, Jason. What do you have next for Keith? What other questions do we have?
It really has been a great show. And the more we go through these segments and talk about topics, it just brings up so many more thoughts that I'm sure our listeners are having as well. So again, I encourage you, listeners, if you have questions or concerns or things you'd want maybe an insider perspective on from Keith, one of the portfolio managers of Gradient Investments, feel free to give us a call at the office. Let us know and we'll pass those questions on. I really want to try to, wrap up the show today in the last segment and kind of let's talk about maybe where we see the fourth quarter going in the markets, maybe what we see not only the fourth quarter, but moving into an election year next year. Because if we look at September, Keith, September wasn't great. I read somewhere September historically is a difficult month. And can you add any insight to why the heck is September kind of such a not such a good month and lead that into insight of what it might look like? I know you can't predict the future, but what you guys think and see for the fourth quarter, and maybe more importantly, longer term, maybe for the next 16 months getting into and through the election year.
Perfect. That's the time frame we generally like to look at, a year plus anyway. But let's just talk about, you talked about September being awful, and it certainly was. Actually, the S&P was down almost 5%. Bond markets, again, they're doing well earlier in the year, but with this rapid increase in rates lately, they were actually down 2.5% in the month of September. So again,
it was a horrible month.
For a bond market to be down 2.5%, that's a real, real disaster. So there's no other way of sugarcoating that. But stock market down 5%. But if we look at the history of the monthly returns of the S&P 500 going back 95 years, September, for some reason, is the worst month seasonally. It's really odd. Most months are actually up. January, you're up about 1.1% on average over that 95 time, periods. December, same thing. We're up. We start the year strong. We finish the year strong. It's about 1.2%. And there's 3 months that are actually down. And there's a couple other months are down like 0.1% on average, which is not very much, right? You think about it. But September was a complete outlier in the 95, periods that we're looking at. September's down 1.2%. So for whatever reason, September's not a good month. I guess if we had a, complete crystal ball and we knew every September would be bad, we'd probably be selling at the end of August and buying stuff back in the beginning of beginning of the next month. But that's not the case. There'll be Septembers that are actually up, but this last one certainly held true and it was almost down 5%.
Now, yeah, sounds like the stock market. Sounds like the stock market's a lot like my kids, Keith, because they go back to school in September, and so the stock market doesn't like going back to school either. My kids don't like it, and the market doesn't like it. So maybe that's why September's a bad month. You got to go back to school.
Jason, you and I are about the same age, so I think you're spot on there. I got my three kids as well, and they certainly don't like going back to school as well. Maybe something to that. maybe they'd argue that they don't need to go back to school, and the markets would be better, huh?
Yeah, I hope they don't have that argument, because you know both you and I and all of our listeners, investors, would probably root for that as well.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So let's kind of move on, like you mentioned, more to that longer term. You know, let's go through what your vision might be for the fourth quarter, but more importantly, and tie some positive in if you could, too. I don't want this show to be all negative for our listeners today, so let's try to throw some positive in there, Keith, to what we see coming up in the next, let's call it 12 to 16
sure.
months.
Sure. So now let's finish out this quarter. If I had my crystal ball, you know, looking what's going to end up happening, I think the market's going to kind of grind higher. You know, if I use that historical data, I say in September was the worst month at, you know, minus 1.2%. Actually, the next 3 months have actually relatively positive, and those are some of the bigger positive months historically. But that being said, there's plenty of good stuff going on to drive the market higher. We got unemployment rates at 3.8%. That's fantastic. Basically, if you want a job, you can find a job. And I'm always dependent. I always say when people are working, they're getting paid. And when they have money in their pockets, what do they like to do? They like to spend.
So they spend money.
They spend money. And again, consumers drive 70% of the overall GDP. So consumers got money in their pockets. They're going to spend that money, and it's going to drive the overall economy, which drives the overall stock market. So I think by, you know, this year, we're off to a solid start of about 12%. I think, you know, just in a shorter time period, I think we kind of grind higher. Now, if we look out the next year or so, what I think happens is I think we're going to start getting more normalized returns. And what I mean by that, I think rates are going to remain a little bit higher. So, you know, if you're investing in bonds, you can actually make a little bit of a return. But I think the stock market is going to be kind of more muted. You know, like I said, long-term averages are around 8-9%. I think you're going to start doing these 7-8% returns, maybe 9% type of numbers for the next couple of years. So we're going to have more normalized returns. Unfortunately, markets don't move in a straight line, do they, Tony? So we'll have
no. They
well,
don't.
You know, markets. There's always corrections within a market, right? This year, markets were up 20%. We pulled back about 8%. I think right now we're around up 14%. So I think the volatility is going to remain, but I think our return expectations should be dialed back a little bit for the overall stock market for the next several years. There'll be more that normal of, you know, 8%. Not that it's going to be negative by any means, but I think it's going to be, you won't have maybe that 20, 30, 40% that we like to see every few years. That probably, if I had my crystal ball, I don't think that's going to end up happening, but things could change. The positive is, like I said, unemployment's fantastic at 3.8%. GDP growth rate, which we look at the overall healthy overall economy. If we go back just, you know, 6-9 months ago, when people are looking at going into this year, they thought there was going to be a recession around the corner, but that certainly hasn't happened. And earnings have been a lot better for corporate companies. I mean, we've seen Q1 earnings, Q2 earnings, fantastic. Q3 is coming up here. We think they're going to be solid. And the GDP growth rate is actually reaccelerating, which is a good thing for the overall economy and health of the stock market.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jason, we're almost out of time for today's show. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
I just want to say thank you again to Keith for being available for our listeners and to jump on our show today. And I'm glad we did kind of turn that into ending on a positive note with, as you mentioned, employment and jobs and GDP and interest rates maybe coming down. We borrow money, it's cheaper. And all those things, I agree, I think are really positive. And just to stress again for all of our listeners out there, you know, when we have someone like Keith Gangle, who's a portfolio manager, he has no crystal ball. He's empowered to know what we know. Now, he's in the trenches and does a lot of research and has the background, and he manages the money in the portfolio. So to have him not only as a portfolio manager, but as a resource here on the show and for you listeners as well, if there's questions or concerns for Gradient Investments or Keith, please feel free to give us a call and let us know. And we can even get you connected directly with Keith or another portfolio manager if you'd like to. But other than that, I think this was an awesome show. So thank you again, Tony, and thanks, Keith, for joining us. Pleasure having you.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure as well.
All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Keith. And Jason, great show. Listeners, I am going to give out that number one more time if you want to get a complimentary copy of the book that Jason wrote, Empower Your Retirement. That number is 989-835-7203. We'll give away 10 more copies to the next 10 callers, 989-835-7203. And if you have questions about the market or want to get a financial plan in place, maybe get a second opinion on where you're at with your financial planner investments, give Jason a call. Again, that number is 989-835-7203. And that does it for today's episode of Your Financial Empower Hour. Thank you for listening to Your Financial Power Hour. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Jason Kreiderman at Great Lakes Investment Advisor. Call 989-848-1188 or visit them online at greatlakesinvestmentadvisors.com. Investment advisory services offered through Great Lakes Investment Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor with the state of Michigan. Insurance products and services offered through Senior Financial Strategies, Inc., DBA Great Lakes Financial Freedom Group, Great Lakes Investment Advisors, Inc., and Senior Financial Strategies, Inc., are affiliated companies. Carl and Jason Kreiderman and Great Lakes Investment Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.